Well, this morning we're going to conclude our series on Sabbath, and so I hope you're excited about that. A long time ago, Kim and I went to Florida on vacation, and we went to a church that belongs to our denomination that's in Holly Hill. It's just north of Daytona Beach, and they do a fantastic ministry down there. And they, long time ago, they used to have some rooms that they had attached to their church, actually, that was used, they were used as a retirement thing. It was just one room with a bathroom attached, and there were some, you know, single older people that stayed in these little rooms there. And that ministry lasted for a while, but then it finally ran its course, so they shut that down. They didn't know what to do with it, and so they turned it into this place where people who were in ministry that needed a break could come for vacation, and they had a very reasonable rate. I don't even remember if they had a charge for it. But what they had was this, it was a central room, and it had some furniture in there. And then around the edge of this room, they had these rooms that you could stay in with a bathroom attached. And you could rent these out. So that's what Kim and I did. Or it was free for ministry people. So Kim and I did this. We went down there. And, you know, when that's fine for us. Because when Kim and I go on vacation, our ideal is a whole bunch of books and a beach. And we just want to, you know, plop on the beach and read. And then when we run out of books, we find a used bookstore and get more books. And my sister-in-law, she drives me crazy. She wants to see every activity, everything there is to see within 100 miles. And it's the most unrestful thing. But that's what Kim and I like to do. So this was perfect. But the thing was, when we got there, our room had no windows. Most of them did, but ours was one of the few that didn't have any windows, and the door was onto this dark central room, and there was hardly any, I mean, it was pitch black in our room. And we're on vacation, so, you know, after a few days, the internal clock, you know, that thing that gets you up at a ridiculously early, I wish I could sleep, that fades away. And sure enough, man, after a while, by the end of the week, we're sleeping 10 hours a night. And it just recycled our whole rhythm. And it was just, that was, I think, the best vacation because we were so rested after that. And I think that's the way God intended us to live all the time, to be in His rhythm. I just want to read from Mark chapter 2. 23 through 28 as we begin this morning. And it says this, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, I like that phrase, the second to last verse I read. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because that tells me it's a gift that's been given to us. And you know, sometimes we're not very good at receiving gifts. And you might even know, even at Christmas, you might know that person that unless it's exactly what they want, it's just, you know, I'm going to have to pay him $20 again, aren't I? Gosh. I told my kids about a pastor who made an agreement with his family. He'd pay him $20 anytime he used them as an illustration. And they so last week he found out that he was an illustration, and he charged me. I got the bill on my Google Pay. I haven't paid it yet. But he got a gag gift from his aunt, and it was obviously a gag gift, and he just looked at it, and he just was so sweet, and he says, oh, thank you. And we were so proud of him. He actually did, you know. But no, even when it's, you know, there's those people, unless it's the right gift, they just can't stand it. They have this gloomy look on their face. And we're that way with God sometimes. We aren't good at accepting His gifts. And today what I'm going to talk about is how to accept God's gift of Sabbath. To do that, I've broken it down into some steps. And the first step that we're going to talk about is that we need to stop. We need to stop. We need to. That's what the word means, by the way. To stop or to cease. And we need to be people who stop. We stop work. And I want to talk about some of the reasons, you know, that, you know, we get into that. But stop work. It's funny, I was talking even after first service, I was talking to farmers, because farmers have to deal with this all the time, especially when that pressure's on in the fall, you know, and it's tough, and they struggle with that. But, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. And not only just stop working, but we're supposed to disconnect. You know, sometimes we'll stop, but the whole time we're stopped, we're thinking about all the things that we're going to do as soon as we get back to work. We are thinking about the person we're going to talk to, the situation we're going to straighten out, the new idea you're going to present, and your mind's just work, 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 and we still don't really stop. And so we need to learn to stop working, stop thinking about that, stop wanting, and just, and by the way, there's a difference between a Sabbath, a day of rest, and a day off. We've talked about this before. But you know what a day off is? It's work, 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 but you don't get paid. It's basically all a day off is. And so we're talking about something different here, an actual day of rest. Along with that, not only stop working, but learn to say no. That's hard. I mean, it seems easy, and you know, maybe some people find it very easy. But I have a hard time, especially when my mom asks me to do stuff. And I want to share just a couple of traps to look out for when it comes to saying no. Trap number one, we'll say no because it's not that big of a thing. It's just a little thing they're asking us. And so we want to just say, you know, oh, that's okay, I can do that. That's, you know, this won't matter. I'll be done in a few minutes. And before long, you're saying yes, and yes, and yes, and yes to more and more things. So be on guard about that trap. And when you hear that, when you know you should say no. The second trap is we worry about what people will think. Man, how rude. You know, or, you know, all kinds of things like that. They might think, what is he doing? Why is he taking a rest now? Why is he, you know, why isn't he, you know, able to do this? And so we are worried about what people will think if we say, I'm sorry, but I'm taking a day of rest. And so we worry about that. So be worried about those, but be able to say no. The third thing is to be humble. Please know that the world will survive without you. Kim mocks me. I'll pull it. See? The walls are still standing. They didn't fall down. That's what we think half the time. We have a hard time stopping because we think it'll be a complete disaster if we do that. We're too important. And sometimes it's just a matter of understanding that, you know, life will go on. It'll be okay. The fourth thing, know your value as a child of the King. They did it again. I don't know if anybody was here during first service, but you let me down really bad. How many were here first service? I want to see as Niall and Kim. They let me down. You... Okay. I know that you're a quiet and staid congregation. Okay? I understand that. I understand that you know, you're not very emotive, you're not very expressive, but please look at the sentence I just read. Know your value as a child of the King.
Amen.
Oh, they got it that time. So that should bring out an amen. So would you please help me? I know that you're just doing it to be kind to me. Okay? So when we read it again, let's hear the amens. Know your value as a child of the King.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. That did my heart so good. I'll make it now. But this is the thing. So many times we get our worth, we get our value from our work and what we accomplish. And so we're afraid to take breaks because we want to make sure we do enough, we accomplish enough, we achieve enough, we reach a high enough status so that we can say that we really are valuable. But once you switch that, and once you realize that's not where your value comes from, that's not what you're worth, that's not where that all comes out of, and you realize that your value is because you're a child of the King, they go, man, I get that good. When you realize that, then you understand it's okay, I can take a break from my work. And finally, live at God's speed and commit to His rhythm. So the question is, you might have heard this if you're old. I shouldn't say that because then everybody's going to say, no, I never heard this before. This used to be what you'd say to people when you left. When you instead of goodbye, you might say Godspeed and wish them Godspeed. And you might be wondering, if you've ever had that happen to you, you might be wondering, what is Godspeed? And there's people that, you know, say different things about what that means, Godspeed. But what some people say, it's 3 miles an hour. And you might say, well, how in the world did they come up with 3 miles an hour? And it's because that's walking speed. And, you know, here's some passages from Scripture. This is 1 John 1, 6 and 7, actually. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So it's about this fellowship that we get when we walk with Him in the light. 2 Corinthians 6:16, the end of it, it says, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's repeated more than once in Scripture. And we also think back all the way to creation when God comes to walk with Adam and Eve. Now, this is, I understand this is way off, and you might say that, Tom, that's totally not appropriate, or, you know, that's misappropriating that Scripture. But I just want you to think of what happens when you walk with somebody. When Kim and I first started dating, we walked everywhere because we were poor. And so we'd go to walk down to the fast food place, and we'd sit in there and we'd share a Coke. And that was it. Maybe fries if we splurged. But we would walk and we would be together and we would share together. As we walked, we looked around together. We looked at creation. We'd watch it snow. We'd be walking in the snow. We'd look at nature. We would see all God's creation as we walked together. There was a strong relational bond. Our walks were really important to us at that point. Now, I just want you to imagine what it would have been like if Kim and I ran together. It would basically be huffing and puffing and pain, and, you know, it would not look pretty. It would be pretty rough. And all we'd be looking for is when we could stop, which is a Sabbath, right? And so living at God's speed is, I think, to slow down. Be in relationship with God. Have that rhythm in our lives. And now I want to share something else why I think it's important to slow down. And again, this is out there a ways. I understand that. But you can just consider it for yourself. But I think that Satan cannot stand God's speed. In fact, I don't think Satan can even go at God's speed. I think Satan runs. Job 1, verse 7. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." That's another way that's often translated is going to and fro. Or rather, as one commentator put it, hurrying rapidly to and fro. The original idea in Arabic is the heat of haste. Rapidly to and fro. Then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. 1 Peter 5, 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When a lion's hungry, it doesn't walk around. It is looking for food. It's that, again, that heat of haste. And so you wonder if Satan has even the ability to slow down. That he is always in a hurry. That he is always running. Notice this, and this is going to be a familiar story to you, and I'm suggesting that it's possibly another temptation of Jesus. This is John 11, verse 2. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, verse 5, and this is very strange. When you listen, it doesn't seem right. This is what it says. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for two more days. That's not the way that verse is supposed to go. It's supposed to say, so he went quickly to save him. And you wonder, is Satan just throwing things out there, trying to get him to hurry? And you know, I think Satan throws stuff at us all the time, trying to get us to hurry. And the question is, if Satan's doing an evaluation of you right now, and he's saying, I wonder if I've got them to speed up, what would his evaluation of you be? Would he be happy? He goes, man, I got them running their kids everywhere. I got people that can't miss a thing, so they're going crazy. I got, man, there's some people, he should have seen it. I put a sale, at the store, and they just, they were almost going to take a rest, and they took off. I think this is a big way that he tries to tempt us, and so Sabbath is just like an antidote to what Satan is trying to do to us. Well, I spent a lot of time on stop, but I only got three more to go, and I won't take as long, I hope. Number two, practice silence. Practice silence. This is Psalm 46, verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You know, you've heard that before, right? And yet you have an anxiety attack if you're asked to turn off your phone. if you're asked to go somewhere without your phone, you know, it's just like, no, we got to have stuff on, and it's like we got to be going all the time. And, you know, we don't like silence. We've got to fill the silence. We've got to put something in there. You know, if you just want to freak someone out, just when someone asks you a question, count to 10 before you answer. Just stare at them. That's what we call awkward silence. They'll hate it, but it's funny. Just watch what they do. Have you ever gotten in an elevator and somebody else gets in? Do you say something? Or you just sit there, it's awkward, right? And so then you'll say something about the weather. Man, it's hot. So, you know, that's what we'll do. If you don't like it, it's just this awkward silence. This is another one, Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Now, I've had this happen. I went to a Mercy Me concert in Fort Wayne. And I don't know what they did. They did something. They were working on the street outside. And it was just a mess. When we left, I went out, got in the car, and we were sitting there, and all these cars are trying to get out, and I'm sitting there, and suddenly there was somebody that was succeeding in their ways when they were carrying out their wicked scheme to get out of there quickly, and I cut them off. I had to make sure I stopped, put a stop to that. But we're like that. We just want to get, we see somebody else getting ahead. It's like, no, we've got to catch up. And it's again that trying to hurry rather than, you know, and Kim sitting there just, it's okay. We don't have to be there. We don't have to get anywhere. It's all right, you know, and we've got to, you know, it'll be okay. And, you know, that happens to us. We're always having to fill that thing. The other thing that I want to say about silence, though, is this: the next. I forgot. I'm sorry. That was my fault. Thanks. Go to the next one. You may be listening, but are you still enough to hear? And people say, "Yeah, I'm listening to God, but I'm not hearing anything." And I just want to suggest that maybe it's because you're not putting enough time of silence in there where you're able to do that. And this is the illustration I use. If you are on sound, running sound up there, Austin's doing a great job. But you know, we had Aaron over here, and Abby was here, and Cassidy was up there. When somebody is new to sound, they're told to make sure they blend everything in together. Except for the one guy in the band that nobody wants to hear. They're supposed to turn that one down. I'll let you guess which one they pick for that. But they listen. They go, oh, I'm not hearing Aaron enough. So guess what they do with the fader? They turn Aaron up. And they go, oh, now I can't hear Abby anymore. So guess what they do? They turn Abby up. And then they can't hear Cassidy. So guess what happens next? Push Cassidy up. And what they don't think about is maybe instead of turning Aaron up, I need to turn the other two down. And when you get some experience at mixing sound, you start learning that it's not just about turning up all the faders every time you don't hear somebody. It's also about turning people down. And I think that sometimes we are still making so much noise. God is speaking, but we're not still enough to really hear. So practice silence on your Sabbath. Make sure you do what you need to do to be able to be still. That might mean go somewhere, especially if you've got young kids at home, right? It's too loud. You have to maybe find a closet where they don't know where you are. Or maybe you have to go for a walk, or you have to leave. You have to go somewhere. You have to go to your special place in the woods, whatever it might be. make sure you can do what you need to do to practice silence. Third thing, pursue joy. I want you to just listen to this passage. This is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I just want you, it's a familiar passage, but I want to just think about how it makes you feel. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I just want to pause because I want to point out that Jesus said, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And especially for the men, I just want you to know that being strong is being humble and gentle. And usually we have that completely backwards, and we think if you're humble and gentle, you are weak. And that's not what the Bible teaches. But I want to encourage you to allow yourself to be joyful. And, you know, on this, when we were doing these slides, Rachel does most of the slides for me. And the first one, the stop, she asked me, do you want a stop sign? And I said, no, I don't want a stop sign. I want something to do with kids, because kids are joyful usually. They are joyful in the way that, you know, they can just, they don't hold anything back. If they're happy, they're happy. If they're sad, they're sad, right? They don't filter it at all. But I didn't want a stop sign because a lot of us who grew up in a Christian home, we didn't have that great a feeling about the Sabbath. We rather dreaded it. And I don't want us to be that way. In fact, I think I told you before that the rabbis would teach that the head of the household on the Sabbath was to take a spoonful of honey and give it to every single person in the household. And it was a reminder that the Sabbath was sweet. And you know, sometimes we're like that. We are afraid to express ourselves. And so, you know, we kind of hold back on the joy. I'm one of those people. I don't dance that well. I'm not a good. Kim, on the other hand, man, she gets happy and her feet move. That's all there is to it. She's joyful. And I think that we need to be that way. And some of the things to do, eat well. I mean, when you're practicing Sabbath, eat well. Do something you enjoy. Be extravagant. Now, I'm not saying go absolutely nuts, but you know, if you really, you know, you've been looking forward all week to getting together with your friends for a cup of coffee, and you just, for some reason or other, felt guilty about doing that or something, go ahead and do it. You wanted to just shut everything else out and read a book? Go ahead and do that. Read the book. Take 2-3 hours, you know, just read. You know, if you wanted to, you know, put up a hammock and just hammock for the afternoon, and you've been putting it up, do it. Do things that bring joy to your life. Pursue joy. Don't make it something, you know, Sabbath something that you dread. Make sure that Sabbath is something you can't wait to come. Be looking forward to it. What's it going to be like next week? Be planning. In fact, you know, the Bible talks a lot about the day of preparation. They would make sure they were prepared for the Sabbath. So that's when they would cook a meal on the day before, so they didn't have to do it on the Sabbath. That's why mostly women, because just saying that's how, you know, mostly women cooked Sunday, you know, the Sunday dinner, that was the big dinner of the week, right? And women didn't rest at all because they were working so hard. But do the preparation you need throughout the week so that on the Sabbath, you're ready for it. The last one then is worship extravagantly. And if you're not sure how to do that, first of all, celebrate healing. When we get on God's rhythm, a lot of things happen that bring healing to our lives. A lot of things happen that make it so that we can actually live the way God intended, and a lot of things become healed. It might be relationships. It might be just other issues that you have in your life. And celebrate that. Another thing that you can do is express gratitude. They have done studies on this now, and they're finding that something as simple as writing down three things you're grateful for every day changes your whole outlook on life. It can move you from being a negative person into being a positive person. They even tie it to better health, to being a person of gratitude. And so take that time. Now, I said that because for most of you, Sunday is your Sabbath. It just works. It works with your work schedule, and it works, you know, you're here in church. But, you know, people came in here this morning, and I always wonder, how ready are they to worship God? Have you been preparing to worship like we did today? See, I think a lot of times we just come in, oh yeah, we get to sing some songs. Boy, I hope they pick good songs this week. You know, and because that's how we evaluate it. It's, you know, well, it's got a good beat and I can dance to it. And if you're under 45, you don't have a clue what I just said. But anyway, ask your parents. But that's all you're doing is just, you know, it's just a song. It doesn't matter if you're singing it here, really, or at a pub somewhere. But you see, if you've been preparing, then maybe you're thinking a little bit differently. And when you start singing a song like Running to Your Arms, it starts to mean something a little bit different. And it's interesting that a lot of the people that are around you, a lot of this stuff kind of fades away. I mean, they're there, and we're worshiping corporately, and that's important. But the connection, the walk with God, you know, Jesus is right there all of a sudden, because you're ready for it and you're preparing for it, and you need that. And it's also okay if you sleep during the sermon, because that's pretty good. You know, if you're going to sleep, if you need rest that badly, at least you did it. At least I can say I did that. I put him to sleep. I want to close by just saying, really give your Sabbath, your next Sabbath, a shot. Don't just pass it off and just let it come and go. Prepare for it. Be ready for it. Plan it. Get ready. Anything that you need to get ready for. I just want you to understand that this is a gift and you're invited to take, and it's something we see throughout Scripture. I just want to give you some verses. Exodus 33:14. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Deuteronomy 12:10, "But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety." Joshua 1:13, "Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, 'The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land.'" And 2 Samuel 7:11, "I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies." So this is a gift that God is giving you. It's the invitation. It's something he's given throughout Scripture, and he still has his rest. And that's what we look forward to, in fact. We're practicing for that final rest. I just want to give you three cautions. It takes time to develop, so be patient. You have to a couple more slides. There we go. Fantastic. Guard your expectations. You know, sometimes you get in there and you think, this is going to be magical. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. Tom said it's going to be great. I'm going to really appreciate it. And you know what happens? Everything goes wrong. That happens. It's something that we have to be consistent with over time and develop in our lives. And finally, others might not have a clue what or why you're doing this. And they're going to say, what? You need to say, no, I'm resting today. I want to close with Matthew 11:28. It says, I've already read it, but come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's your invitation. And not only do you want that rest deep down, but you need that rest. So take that gift. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the rest that you give us. What a gift. And Father, I just pray that we would be people who learn how powerful it is in our lives. How it prepares us, how it helps us function, how it helps us be the people you want us to be. Help us to learn to truly rest in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.